So welcome. I just wanted to welcome you, Dr. Michelle Petit-Colas. Did I pronounce it correct?
Yes, thank you very much, Betty. I'm very pleased to be on your show.
She's an expert in grief and loss, and I wanted to share certain things that was shared at an event that I attended, and it was called the Inner Safari Caregiver Conference. And let me tell you, it was very touching. Very touching, and I learned so much because my mother's at 83 years old, and she's going through some changes, and I see it on a daily basis. And you know, I hate to admit this, but you know, I don't want to believe it, but it's true. Mama is forgetting, and so when she does forget, she gets a little upset because you know she knows it too, that she's losing her memory. And this is part of something that happens as you grow old, you know, as you age. And so, but the message, your message was so positive. And, you know, this is something that I think a lot of people should be able to listen to you and understand and maybe take it to heart. And so I was really touched by what you shared about grief and loss. And because you're an expert, I would love for you to share a little bit with the community out there. So go ahead, Dr. Michelle Petit-Colas.
So I can share a little bit of what I presented at the Inner Safari.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
Or I could speak more directly about grief and loss. And of course, when it comes to the caregiver experience, it's successive losses that you go, that both you and the person you're caring for experience throughout the journey, through end of life. And, like you had mentioned at the very beginning about watching that your mother's memory was starting to go. That's
yes,
correct?
Yes.
And so that's disturbing because we expect things to stay the same and people change. And how to adjust to that and not to let it get us into a negative mindset. So in my in the work I do around grief, I teach people to look for to look at the way they're looking at things. That how they define or interpret things has a huge impact on their experience. So, for example, a friend of mine was telling me how she had some dental work, and she was reduced to having to eat food the consistency of baby food. And she, instead of getting into this attitude of poor me, how horrible, I've lost everything, she decided to make the most gourmet baby food on the planet.
Oh, how delicious.
So that became her experience, was how can I make this taste even better?
Oh,
how can I enjoy this?
Yes.
So that's what we're looking for, is how can we reinterpret, because every door that we go through, every new stage has a new opening. I was teaching a workshop for this past Sunday on facing death, and I shared the story of a man who I had accompanied through his final year. And he had heart failure, and he was slowly but surely fading. He was moving slower and slower.
Oh.
And each time I would go to visit him, I never knew if he was going to open the door or not, you know, because he could have a heart attack. He had a pacemaker. So one time I went to visit him, and I knocked on the door, and I waited, and I didn't hear anything, and I waited. I started to think, I wonder if I should be calling 911. I wonder if he's going to answer the door. And I waited some more, and finally I started to hear some sort of shuffling. And he came to the door, and he said, I'm moving very slowly today. So we sat down in his living room, and we were hardly talking at all because he was so slow.
Oh.
And this was he was a math professor at UC Berkeley for most of his his career.
Yes.
So he's sitting there at the chair, and he's looking at the space next to me on the couch. And suddenly he says to me, you know, the interesting thing about slowing down is I'm seeing the world in a way I never noticed before. Like, for example, on that side table, that cloisonné vase with that bright, beautiful red flower. And he just totally embraced that experience. So what I'm saying is that, yes, we may lose certain capacities. We may have to move slower. But, oh, open to the new possibility. Like if you lose your eyesight, how does that open up your ears? Or open up the sensory nerve endings on your fingertips?
Right.
Now, I know that's a little bit of half the cup always half full. But that's the way I was taught in my life, is always look for the new adventure. Look for the new adventure.
Okay.
So I want you to think for yourself about your mother. How could you look for a new adventure with your mother around her losing her memory?
Well, I was thinking games. I was thinking pulling out the Monopoly, pulling out the dominoes, pulling out the checkerboard. Games that I know would help her memory, and games that I know that are simple enough for her to be able to grasp and enjoy at the same time. Now she gets a little nervous, but I pull out the easiest games first, so that way she knows them and remembers them.
Even
tic-tac-toe, exactly. Even that's her favorite. That is her favorite.
And make sure that she gets wins.
Oh, I let her win most of the time. She smiles. She beams. And so that's something that I learned to do with her whenever I do sense that she's being a little more forgetful. And even she notices and she tells me, okay, don't forget to bring me my berries, my blueberries and, strawberries, because she really believes it. And I've been telling her, at least, have your blueberries with your cereal, with your oatmeal, whatever you want. But make sure that you have, your dose, at least your serving in the morning. And, that really helps her, and she notices it. And when she doesn't, she notices that she starts to, forget certain things. And then she gets a little upset. And then it gets to the point where she blames me. Now, where did I put it, why did I move it? And I'm saying, no, Mom, I'm pretty sure we'll find it. We just have to keep looking. I am trying to stay as positive as I can with her. I love her to death. I don't like to see her when she's a little upset. But I want her to be happy, and I want her to be positive, because that woman's got so much energy. Oh, my goodness. She could run circles around me. She is quite the gardener. She's got these two green thumbs, and she grows these beautiful roses in the back. And I go out there, and I try to spend as much time as I can with her to help her. And I notice she's the happiest when she's in her garden.
Yes, so that's good. And that's good for you, too, because it's good for you to be surrounded by nature.
Yes, and we've got lemons, we've got oranges back there, but the roses are just the most beautiful, and especially when they put out the scent, the aroma of roses. Wow.
Yeah.
I grew to love her roses, her garden, because of her. But I also learned a lot through her, too, just watching her, how she cares for her roses, her plants.
Yeah.
And she's really particular. And so, she's got to have her time in the morning in her rose garden, or she is not happy. And so I totally understand. And, I support her as much as I can. But, to see her, that she's forgetting where she's putting her scissors, or her clippers to be able to clip her roses. That's really disturbing to her, because those are her tools,
So here's a suggestion. When she gets upset, allow her to experience the feeling. Start to teach her to go into the sensation in her body. And if you can, and I haven't tried this with people who are starting to have memory loss, but I know that with most of us, we have a tendency to try and skip over our feelings, to tamp them down or to move forward or distract ourselves. But if we can actually just stay with that emotion and just breathe and stay with that emotion and the sensation of it, like you ask your mom, okay, where are you feeling that right now, Mom? Where are you feeling upset? Where is that? Is that in your chest? And you imagine where it might be, because she's going to indicate it. Do you feel it in your head? And let her experience it, and it will actually pass, And it may be that after she allows the emotion, we want that emotion to move, she may remember where she put the tool. And even if she doesn't, then the other option is to play, make a game out of it. Like, oh, we're doing hide and seek with the scissors.
Okay.
So, where could it be? Be playful.
And, you know, I try to be. I try to make it entertaining. And then I'll laugh because where I found it was just obvious. And we'll just make a joke about it. And, of course, she becomes very giddy and happy because finally I found her scissors, you know. She can get back out in
the
garden.
And, you know, you can play a game out of it. Like, you can pretend that the scissors have a mind of their own and they've gone, you know, off somewhere.
Okay.
So, you play silly. And that makes it lighter and it makes it fun. Because at this point in her life, it's not about getting things done. It's about enjoying life.
Yes.
And if you can find that way to do that with your mother and enjoy the time with her instead of getting caught up in her frustration, both of you will be happy.
Yes. I hear. Yes, I understand. Yes. You're right. You're very right. And, you know, when I share this with my sisters, they say, Mom is fine. They think I'm overreacting. And I have two sisters, and I'm trying to tell them, look, I live with Mom. I see her.
But you work with Mom? I'm sorry.
I deal with her every single day.
Yes.
And so I care for Mom. And see, my other two sisters, they come and they take her to the doctors. You know, they might take her shopping. But I see her on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to share with them some information that I think is very important. But I feel like they don't believe it. Or I guess because when they deal with her, you know, it seems to them that she's okay, you know, her memory's fine. And but I'm the one that having to deal with her when she loses things. And so I'm trying to kind of let them know.
You're bringing up a really good question. How do we deal with our siblings around the care of our parents?
Yes.
And how do we take care of some of the frustration that we feel and sometimes even resentment because maybe they're not helping out as much as you would like them to help out?
Right.
Yes. So one thing you could try, I mean, obviously there's a reason why you're there with your mother every day. We can look at that. That was my third point at the Inner Safari was, what's your mission?
Right.
But before we go to the mission, the other thing was to create your team and find out, enjoy your interactions with your sisters too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they remember? Or asking them, how was your experience with Mom? Instead of trying to get them to be where you are, ask questions about where their experience is. Invite that. Instead of it being a conflict, be a sharing of experiences. Because, you know, what's funny about parents and aging parents is they're going to put a different face forward to different children.
You are so right.
I mean, with my mother,
I've already experienced that.
My mother, she was always like, you know, the patient and, you know, feeble around my sisters, but around me, she was always like the champion. She was always in her power mode.
Yeah.
And part of it was because my energy, I think she fed off of my energy, and so she would be lifted up by it. And part of it is that was our dynamic.
Wow.
Mm. So you want to appreciate that your sisters actually have a different experience of your mom.
They do.
And you don't need to get them on your page.
Okay.
Because they have a different experience. But what you do want is to make sure that you get the support you need.
Okay.
So are they giving you enough support? If not, what else can they do to help you? And to ask them in a way that is inviting.
I have actually done that, and I have asked them if they could do a little more with Mom. You know, take her shopping or maybe.
And how have they responded?
They said that they already are doing that. And I said, okay, I'm just saying maybe an extra little trip, maybe to the cemetery to visit Daddy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's something she loves to do. She takes all her gardening tools and, you know, she also cares for Daddy's area. And so that's something that she looks forward to. And so Sometimes she doesn't want me taking her because I guess she doesn't care for my driving. I don't know, but that's what I hear. And so I have to accept it. I'm like, okay, Mom. And, you know, when she does finally say, okay, then go ahead and take me, then I'll be real extra careful. And that way she doesn't get scared in the car. I think sometimes I may turn a little too quick sometimes and it scares her. I'm not sure. Uh-huh. But it seems to me like she's better with my sisters in their vehicle. She trusts their driving better than over mine.
Okay. So here you can use that. They say, Mom is really asking if you would take her to the cemetery.
Yes.
When might you be able to do that? So you have a specific event that you ask, and you are patient, and you let her figure out, your sister figure out what's going to work for her. And don't worry about, you know, the tit for tat, but just... instead of, I would like you to do this more often, that's too vague. You need to give a specific request.
Okay.
And say, and if you say it in terms of, Mom is asking for you, ooh, big, strong motivation. Oh, Mom is asking for me? And then afterwards, reinforce it by saying, oh, Mom said she had such a good time with you.
Okay.
And she's looking forward to doing it again.
Yes.
And I was wondering, would it be possible for you to just tell me when you might be able to come and do that again for her?
Yes,
so
put on the
calendar. So I put it on her radar.
Yeah.
You see how it works? It's like you reinforce them and you encourage. And the more they feel approved and reinforced, the more they're going to do it. Because then it becomes pleasant. It becomes enjoyable rather than this pulling teeth.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, I understand. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
You're so welcome, and thank you for being willing to share your experience so that
this is important.
Listeners.
This is important, Dr. Michelle. This is so important for the community to hear, and so I don't mind sharing because this is real. This is happening right now. It's happening today. And
yes.
I don't mind sharing because I'm experiencing it, and I want others
Absolutely.
To be able to learn from what I'm sharing. And so, and not only that, but especially from you, you know, you being the expert in this area. So what other things can we do to be able to care for our loved ones?
Well, I was just hinting at before the importance of being clear about what your mission is. That is,
okay.
what is there in this experience that you are getting out of it. If it's really important to have a purpose, something that makes you feel good about doing this. Why are you doing this? Why are you going every day? If it's just because it's expected of you or that you feel that you should, this is not going to carry you through the tough time. You have to have a real sense of what it is that you are getting out of this experience that you're going to take away with you. Because then when you have that feeling and you have that sense, you exude that for everybody else. It's kind of like the old, Tom Sawyer? Was it Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn story where he's painting the fence and he convinces somebody else to pay him money so they can paint the fence?
So
that's what you want to do. You want to paint the fence and make it seem like the best thing in the world, and they should be, you know, like vying for the opportunity to paint that fence.
Yes. Well, quality time with Mom is so important. That right now
so
is...
what do you think is your mission? What do you feel that you is the gift that you're getting out of this? What are you hoping to gain from this time with your mother for you?
The gift of giving and just quality time with Mom and having, you know, there's something that I noticed that she likes to do. And something happened this morning that threw me and I thought, wow, we were talking about property that she had in Mexico and that her property was right next to Lake Chapala and it's a beautiful lake. And I asked her what she decided to do with that property. And she said she sold it. And I said, okay. And she said part of the property also was her sister's. And I thought, okay. And then next thing I know, she's talking about an incident that happened when she was 12 years old. And she started telling me about this one little duck that she adopted, a wild duck. And she fed it. She raised it, and it turned out to be this beautiful, beautiful duck. And she says that one day, a gentleman came by and had a slingshot, and he was a hunter. So when he saw this duck that was very trusting, you know, getting closer and closer, he hit it with the slingshot and killed it. And my mom, I kid you not, she broke down and cried right there. And so she's going back, way back, at 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I tried saying as positive as I could. You know, I didn't want to, I didn't say, mother, don't cry or anything. I let her do what she wanted to do. But at the same time, I was coming back and just sharing with her how beautiful it was that she was able to do that with this duck, you know, because mm-hmm. that was her pet. Mm-hmm. But this hunter didn't know that. And right. when he finally realized it was too late, he already killed the duck. And my grandfather comes into the picture, and he does let the gentleman know that, you know, that was his daughter's duck. That was her right. pet. Right. And, of course,
now,
he was
she may have felt guilty because she had tamed the duck.
Exactly.
And the duck was trusting, and
yes.
it had lost its natural fear. I don't know that this is true, but she
yes.
might have. And so her actually going back, I mean, part of the experience of people as they go and head towards their end of life is what they call a life review. And so when she gives you these tidbits, these are all part of her reviewing her life and
oh my
finishing
goodness.
Up and closure. So this is very, very valuable for her.
Yes.
And it could be wonderful for you because at the same time you were accumulating these wonderful stories that you can share with your family.
Exactly. This is a story that I have never heard.
Yes.
You know, when we have yes. our conversations, we always talk about family. We talk about, you know, filling up that family tree, you know, because that family tree is so important. We need to know,
yes.
you know, who's who and, you know, what side of the family and... And, you know, I could get her talking about it, and she gets excited. And then she'll tell me, okay, I'm tired. I'm tired of talking. And so we'll leave it alone. And, you know, I might pick it up some other time. But it's mm-hmm. something, it's like a little game, because I'm trying to get her to finish this tree so that way she can see that she did this all by herself. And that's yes. remembering all of the family members on her
yes.
mother's side, on her father's
yes.
side, on my father's
yes.
side. And, wow, you know, the outcome is pretty neat, and at the same time, it's exciting to see that she's remembering it all, because she'll even tell me, goodness, I can't remember the names. And then I'll tell her, you know what, Mama, just take a little while and think about it. I'm pretty sure it'll come, and if not, you know, don't worry about it. We'll try some other time, or we'll move on to something else. And then she'll come back and say, I remember the names.
Yeah.
And then I'll put them down in the tree. So that way we know where the names go. And
that's
so this
great.
Tree is filling up. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is beautiful. Because
great.
I'm allowing her to share information. And at the same time, I'm taking her back. And she's remembering these beautiful memories of the family. And so it's kind of it's rewarding to see her when she's happy and bubbly. And so.
Yes. And also being the repository of her life story. Now, here's another thing you can do to incite the interest of your siblings, your sisters, and that is to either text message them, or I don't know if they're on Facebook, and write just a little blurb about how Mother Tallis talked to me about this duck today, and
oh,
it was just so neat.
And
yes. then they're like, oh, I want to hear more of those stories.
Well, today we're going to meet. My sisters and I are going to meet to celebrate one of my sister's birthdays. So that's going to be my present.
Yes,
one of
them. Be your present.
One of them, one and of the presents. So I figure I could share with them. Why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
So I'll do that tonight. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only other thing that, I don't know, are we almost out of time?
Do no, we're not. We still have time. You just...
Okay, great. So
don't
you
worry about
the other
time.
Thing I wanted to mention is it's really important for you to take care of yourself. So I call this, you know, breathe first. You need to remember, or we all, when we're caregiving, to take time out to breathe and check in with ourselves.
Yes.
It's so easy to get wrapped up in the other person and their needs that we forget about our own needs.
You're so
right. that's a big mistake because caregivers, the caregiving role is very demanding, and it takes a lot of energy. And I do believe that the elderly, the person we're taking care of, is actually feeding off of our energy. And in some ways, it's beautiful. It's kind of like a mother feeding her child in her womb.
Yes.
You're feeding your elder. But it can be very exhausting, and you need to replenish yourself. And so you need to make sure that you take time out, that you take care of your health, that you eat well, that you sleep well, that you get exercise, that you take time out, that you're not there all the time.
Okay.
And how are you doing on that? And
I'm not just saying this to you,
but everybody.
For a little while there, I was losing a little too much weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not eating right,
right.
And staying really busy. So that was part of it. But
yes.
Now I'm getting back to my vitamins, and I'm
good.
Trying to pay attention to what it is that I'm eating. I have a tendency to have a problem gaining weight, and you know, I hate to say that because a lot of people say, "God, wish I had that problem." But no, you know, just like it is for a heavy set person, it is just as difficult for a thin person sometimes to keep weight on.
Yes, and it's true. It's true.
I've always been very energetic. I've always been a little workaholic, and that's part of my problem.
Yes.
Because sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, Doctor, I forget to eat.
Yes, yes. So you need to schedule that in.
It just happens.
You need to schedule it in. You need to maybe even create a schedule for yourself or set a timer on your watch to make sure that you do eat. Because if you get sick, what does that do for your mom?
Exactly. Exactly. I need my energy.
So you have to remember that if you get sick, and I personally understand that there are two things that are operating here. The staying busy all the time is a way for us to avoid our feelings. That it's disturbing to our systems to see our loved ones declining. And so by staying busy, we don't have to think about it. So that is just a defense mode, and when you become aware of it, you can start to work against that and slow down. Because actually the juice, the gifts, are in the moments with your mother, in taking that time. The biggest regret that I had with the people in my group support group around the loss of a loved one was not spending the quality time. Of getting too caught up in the caregiver role.
Right. Okay.
So you really want to slow down. And when you slow down, you'll also have time to eat. Maybe you eat with your mom, you know, or
mm-hmm.
You make sure that you eat. You make sure that you get time out. And does your mother have other support? Does she have somebody else who's also taking care of her? Or is she just...
My brother comes in every now and then, but my sisters, you know, when they are in town, I have one that does live here. She's constantly taken out for shopping, and which is great.
Ask this. Is your mother able to stay at home alone, or does she need 24/7 care?
Oh, yeah. End up doing, sometimes I bring her something to eat. She loves that because, of course, you know, she knows I know what she likes to have. And so she loves it when she doesn't have to go out, you know, and I'll bring her something and we'll sit down and eat together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's a fun time because we're sharing and eating at the same time.
Yes.
And I have noticed that my sister will do that too every now and then, which I think is wonderful because she loves that.
Yes.
She really enjoys that.
Yes.
To be able to sit down and share and eat at the same time. Yeah, she really does enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one sister that lives out of town, and so she's the one that, you know, does come in, and she also takes mom shopping, but at the same time, I know it's difficult for her to make all these trips because, you know, she's 3 hours away, and I understand that.
That's
and I tell her, you know what, if for any reason you can't make it, you know, just let me know, and I'll take care of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of. But most of the time, they're pretty good. Whenever there's a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, they're right on. You know, they'll pick her up and take her, and, you know, that's their time with her. And I'm thinking, okay, that's great. Wonderful. You know, because she will complain about her tooth or, you know, her jaw hurting or something. And so we want to be able to take care of it. If there's something that is, you know, going wrong there, at least you'll be seen by a doctor. And so the girls are really good at doing that. And I really appreciate that. She's real particular, my mother, you know, whenever, you know, she has one of the girls to take her, that's who she's depending on to take her and follow through with the doctors mm-hmm. from beginning to end.
And that's good. That's
yes.
good. But here's another tip, and that is, how else can they help you that may not involve them being there in person? Is there research they can do? Is there financial support? How else can they help you out? So, for example, you were talking about going there with food. Is she signed up for Meals on Wheels? Do they have a Meals on Wheels program in your area?
You know, I think they do. I think they do. And I think that's something that my sister was looking into. So I'll have to ask her that and see what she
exactly.
found out.
Exactly. What are the additional... See, one person, it's too much. It's one person, it's too much to do everything. So if you can get your sisters to help out and see what other kind of services there are. Maybe there's somebody who can drive her to an appointment. You know, maybe there's some kind of senior service that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gets exposed to other people besides just you. Maybe there's a friend in the neighborhood that will come by and visit. But you don't have to take responsibility for that. You
and they
can
do.
Ask,
they do, Doctor. We do have a neighbor that comes by and visits Mom
Excellent.
Often, and she loves
Excellent.
Her to death. Matter of fact, she
Excellent.
Was talking about her this morning.
Excellent. Excellent.
So, and she asked me, have I seen her? I said, oh, of course I saw her. I saw her this morning. She was cleaning or doing something with her vehicle. She says, oh, well, that's good to hear because I hadn't seen her for a while. And so she thought maybe she was out of town. And I said, no, Mom, she's here. So she does. She does come out and visit Mom every now and then. And she loves it, of course, because this is her neighbor. This is someone that she grew loving for many years. And so she's one of the neighbors that's been there as long as she has. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your mother belong to a church community?
Excuse me. You know, St. Mary's is a church where she does attend. And she does. Matter of fact, my sister always takes her whenever she wants her to go, and
right.
And that's something that they have. And sometimes, you know, I'm welcome. You know, when they ask me, you know, if I'd like to come, great. You know, I'll join them. I love it. But if not, then that's their time, and I'll respect that. I'll try
Absolutely.
To respect it.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like left out. At the same time, I'm like, well, you know, it's good that they go out
You
by
need
themselves.
To have your time off. You
yes.
take it.
Yes.
Yeah. So here's the other thing about the church. Oftentimes, churches have ministries and people who are committed to doing good works, like going and visiting the elderly. And so this is a way to increase the stimulation that your mother gets, and that it isn't all based on you and sometimes your sister's coming. That there are other people who are coming by that spend time with her and stimulate her mind and make her life interesting.
You're right. Yes, she does. She does have a couple. There's another one that I'm thinking about. And so she too comes around and visits Mom, but she'll call ahead of time, which is great because then Mom knows to expect her. So
and
far.
here's the other reason why you do this. You know, you look at your neighbors, you look at the communities that your mother belongs in, and that is that if and when stuff gets more difficult, you have people who are already committed, that have already developed a relationship, a deeper relationship, because whenever you're spending time with somebody like this, it deepens the relationship, and then they become resources for you. They become part of your team.
Okay.
And this is important because, as I said in my presentation, caregiving is not a solo sport, you know, and it's a marathon. It's a long-term commitment, and you can't treat it like a sprint. So you need your support team. You need people who are around that help you out with a lot of things, including, you know, stuff like laundry. I don't know, you know, laundry,
yes.
cooking, bringing meals, spending time with her. There used to be, and I haven't done this in a while, but I had a friend, she was dying of cancer, and they used an online program that allowed people to schedule the time that they would come over and visit the loved one. And that way you would set up, or you would ask your sisters, because you're doing enough, you want to get somebody else to do this, to set up a schedule of when there might be open times for people to volunteer to come. And that way they have a record, they get to see what other people are doing, and it creates more of that sense of working together as a team.
Okay.
But then it doesn't fall on you to be scheduling it or having to answer the phone calls. You just say, oh, let's look at the schedule. Look, let's who's coming today?
You know, that is a good idea. And usually I try to keep things on our calendar, like whenever the lawnmower guy comes around to, you know, cut her grass. That way she knows when they're coming. And
yes.
Just by looking at the calendar, it's written there. She
right.
knows when he's been paid because I'll write it on there. And
right.
so I help her, too, with her checks. I help her, you know, to pay her little bills. And a lot of
yes.
times, she does try to write her own checks. But every now and then, she does need a little help. And I'll say, okay, just, you know, write your checks, do the best that you can, and whatever it is, whatever area you need for me to fill, then I'll go ahead and fill it in for you. She loves that help. Yeah.
Yes. It's really important to also let other members of your family help her do that, because if anything should happen to you, you want them to also know how to do those tasks with her.
Yes. And, you know, my other sister does do that for her, too. Matter of fact,
okay,
she helps
good.
Her with her mail. And they go through her junk mail and keep her bills and
that's right.
put them in place.
That's
so that's,
right.
yeah, that's a good thing.
That's
so.
Right.
Okay. Well, you know what? It has been such a pleasure having you on KXVS 92.1 FM. This is a community radio, and, you know, I'm glad that we've been able to share this way. You're the professional. I'd like for you to put all your contact information out there, so if anybody in the community has any questions, they can call you and know how to get in touch with you. Now,
yes.
I know that you probably have written, I don't know how many books, but one of the, Helping Profession, Women Struggling with Grief and Loss, Secrets of Life and Death. Is that one of your books?
No, I've produced a documentary film series, Secrets of Life and Death. And one of them is called Caring for the Dying. And that is, people can look at the trailer to the film. And if they want to buy the home-priced video, they're entitled to do that, and that comes, they can do that. I think it's like maybe $25, and it comes with a user's guide so that they can actually...
Oh, wonderful.
So they can actually work with their loved one through whichever film they there's a really nice film on facing death, and it comes up with a lot of really good questions that you can take your loved one through.
Wonderful.
So that's one thing. And then there's lots, I have a blog on my website. So the website is secretsoflifeanddeath.com.
Okay.
And there are no spaces. So it's secrets, plural, of lifeanddeath.com. And if you put that up, it'll come right up, because it pops right up to the top of Google.
Wonderful. Can I put out your number?
Yes.
Okay, the number,
510-529-4806.
Yes. So you can get in contact, Dr. Pericola. And, of
yes.
course, you're such a sweetheart, and I'm glad that you were able to call me and give us this time for the community to listen, because this is important, and it is very important to me, because I'm going through things, changes, and I want to be there for my mother as much as I can, because I figure she gave us, you know, good part of her life. She brought us into this world. Now it is time for us to give back to her, and that's just the
Absolutely.
Way I see it. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's really important. That's a really good mission. I want to give back to her. She gave me so much.
Yes.
But this is my way of giving back to her. And
it
I'm going to feel
turn.
Like, you know, not to mention the intimacy and the closeness and the getting all the stories that you get from her, you know, and the pleasure of playing games with her. All those
yes.
things are the benefits, the mission statement that really makes this experience precious.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Do appreciate
you. You're so welcome.
You. And if I can keep that number, and I will keep plugging you every now and then. Now, we are going to put you on our loop, so that way this interview continues to play at different times, so you just might get phone calls from other individuals at a different day. So thank you so much for taking the time to call me back and giving us this most precious information that you have to care for our loved ones. Do appreciate
you're very
you.
Welcome.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you so much, and you have a
take
great
care.
Day, and we'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. You heard it right here, KXVS 92.1 FM, The Voice of Stockton. She's such a sweetheart. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Michelle Pedicola, 510-529-4806. Grief and loss expert. You know, you have any questions, give her a call. She's wonderful. She is wonderful. So thank you so much for tuning in. Do appreciate you. This has been Betty Ramirez right here at KXVS 92.1 FM, The Voice of Stockton. Of course, you are tuned into Sabor Latino with Betty Ramirez.